can. It's a life I love, and I'm gonna live it till they bury me. Oh, I can't get enough of dirt roads and dusty fields and the simple things. And I take pride in everything I got, 'cause I'm American born and country by the grace of God.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
This is Phil Nee saying happy trails until we talk again later on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. The news this hour is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including, of course, bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. 71 degrees at WRCO in Richland Center.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden hoping to shift the discussion this week from the future of his presidency to the NATO summit in Washington. Biden will attend a series of official events and will hold a news conference. Congress is also heading back into session, meaning more face-to-face meetings among Democratic lawmakers. Hurricane Beryl taking out power for hundreds of thousands of customers along the Texas Gulf Coast.
Coming off the Yucatan Peninsula, Tropical Storm Beryl began to gather power from the warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico, so that when it finally made landfall this morning near Matagorda Bay, Texas, it was a Category 1 hurricane with winds of 80 miles per hour. From here, Beryl will head northeast, dumping rain on at least 10 states through Thursday.
ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas. Boeing agreeing to a Justice Department plea deal to avoid a criminal trial over two deadly crashes involving its 737 MAX jets. At least 100 people shot in Chicago over the 4th of July weekend. 19 were killed. This is ABC News. Wildlife officials warning beachgoers to be aware of increased shark activity after several incidents in Florida over the holiday weekend. ABC's Trevor Ault.
At Florida's New Smyrna Beach, Connor Baker says he was playing football in knee-deep water on the 4th of July when a shark bit his foot.
All of a sudden, I felt like my foot was just being, like, stabbed on both sides, bottom and top.
Baker rushed to the hospital, the bite tearing four of his ligaments.
Like, you always hear people get bit by a shark, and you're like, that'll never be me. It's pretty crazy, and then it happened.
The next day at the same beach, officials say a shark bit a second man floating in an inner tube.
Officials say there have been at least 15 confirmed shark bites in the U.S. this year. Closing arguments begin today in New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez's corruption trial. The lawmaker saying over the weekend he feels confident that the jury will find him not guilty. It's a wrap for John Cena, as he told a crowd of WWE fans over the weekend. He feels physically at his end and will retire from pro wrestling in 2025. Sherry Preston.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. The summer is here, and July is all about summer. And of course, Ruby is the amazing birthstone for July. We have beautiful rubies, so stop in and save on your next ruby purchase at Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The bowling alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
Well, Mostly cloudy to patchy sun. Scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today. A high of 79. For tonight, partly cloudy. Spotty showers early. Maybe some fog. A low of 60. Tuesday, breaks of sun with a 40% chance of spotty showers and thunderstorms. A high of 81. Wednesday, low 80s with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible. More likely rain in the afternoon. And Thursday, 82 with patches of sunshine. Dunkin' dropped a new kind of energy. Introducing Spark Energy by Dunkin'. It's energy for the fun of it. Available in two full-on delicious flavors, Berry Burst and Peach Sunshine. It's what you need when your afternoon needs you to get going. A revitalizing burst of caffeine, vitamins, and minerals gives you the energy to turn the fun up to 11. True story. Order ahead on the Dunkin' app and get a medium Spark Energy for $3 in the month of July. Fruit-flavored, contains 0% fruit juice, caffeine from caffeine and guarana. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply. Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Hi, this is Julie Cairns with State Farm. Like a good neighbor is not just a corporate slogan or a catchy jingle. It's much more than that. It's how we try to encapsulate the enormous amount of heart and soul that drives our business. It's a title to a story that started over 100 years ago. At Julie Cairns State Farm, we're about relationships, not transactions. We participate in the lives of our customers and community. We are invited to help you with the things that matter most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
To thrive and live well, you need a trusted partner in health and care when you need it. Gunderson Basketball's growing family medicine team is here to offer both and welcomes new and existing patients at our Basketball, Fenimore, and Muscadet clinics. With extended hours and the convenience of same or next day appointments and online scheduling through MyChart, it's never been easier to prioritize your health and well-being. Gunderson Basketball, bringing love plus medicine to you.
Your attention, please. Krogan's Do It Best retirement sale in Boscobel continues with everything on sale. Just in time for your summer projects. All fertilizer, grass seed, garden hose, lawn chemicals, and all paint and stain, 25 to 50% off. The largest sale in their 91 years. Everything goes. Hurry for the best selection on all furniture, appliances, hardware, grills, and more. They're selling to the bare walls. Krogan's Do It Best in Boscobel is closing their doors. Stop in today. Open daily 8 to 6, Saturday 8 to 4, close Sunday.
On our morning show from WRCO and WRCE, today we're talking about all things going on in the Valley. Lauren Glassbrenner is here, River Valley Superintendent, and we're looking at some things that are going on over the summer months. There's never a downtime, is there, Lauren?
No, for a certain team, there is always time on. So again, a shout out to my team at District Office, to Paula, Gwen, and Julie. They're always there working hard. We've got Mr. Mahoney in our business office working really hard. And then I've got my principals, Darby, James, and Carla. They're always there during the summer months too. So there is a team that makes it a 12-month long kind of journey as we go through these school years. But July 1st, everything flips over financially, scholastically, a lot of data flips over. So we are a solid 7 or 8 days into the new year as far as the school year goes.
I always like visiting schools, especially at the beginning of the school year, but I know right now you're getting all the clean smells and the wax and all that stuff. But
yeah, it's always a good thing. Over the 4th of July holiday, which again, a shout out to all our veterans and anybody that's serving in our armed forces, thank you for your service. But as we look forward to that, it's also a time for us as a team that works year round to kind of get out of the office and have some time away. So when you say the new smells or the clean smells, it makes me think of my office where they asked us not to be there for 3, 4, and 5 so that the carpets could be cleaned and everything could be washed. And the worst part of that for me is I'm a paper guy. I like lots of newspaper articles. I like books. I like lots of post-it notes. And they asked me to put all of those away so I could clean my office. And that's really hard for me. It's finally like, go clean your room, kid. And it's hard. It's hard. I got most of it put away. But again, a shout out to the team that helps clean us up too. So a really nice thing.
You and I should start a support group.
It's a hard thing to do, to get rid of stuff, isn't it?
It is. As much as everybody likes to do things virtually, or if we're on a Google Meet or a Zoom Meet or whatever, I can handle all the virtual stuff too. I just still am a learner by writing, I learn by reading, and I learn by having pieces of actual paper near me. So I don't know if it's just my fault or my weakness, but I like things printed.
The River Valley District, you border on several county fairs, don't you?
We do, and it's almost county fair season, so I wanted to highlight right now. Our kids, when they go home, and again, you know that much of River Valley is a rural district. So the River Valley School District is actually in four different counties of Wisconsin. Just a little bit of Dane County, so that one kind of doesn't count. But for the other three, we're almost equally divided. A large part of our district sits in Sauk County. A big portion of our district sits over in Richland County, where I'm sitting right now. And then across the river, much of our district is in Iowa County. So that means I get lucky. I get to go to three county fairs, and that's an exciting thing. So the first one coming up this week already is the Sauk County Fair. And I'd love to highlight that and tell people a little bit about that Sauk County Fair, if it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, so that first fair is from 1855. And when you think of something that's been celebrated in a regional area like Sauk County since 1855 up in Baraboo, it's pretty special. So the fair grew in success from the spring of 1870, and they purchased land and they kind of moved it to where the fairgrounds are now. And again, it's a great typical county fair. The Baraboo Fairgrounds are off on that far side, kind of towards, I would say more towards the interstate than anything, but the Baraboo Fairgrounds are really big because they have incredible bands that come in. They'll have an incredible dairy showing, a big swine showing. They'll have some really diverse products there, like chickens, ducks, all the different kinds of things that go along with a typical fair. But also key to the Sauk County Fair is there's always a derby or a demolition that's really fun for people to come to. So I encourage anybody that wants to support kids and families that are involved in agriculture to really think about going out to that Sauk County Fair, which is held the week of July 8th through the 14th. So I believe Thursday I'll be out with Sherry Graffunder over at Baraboo, and we'll be supporting the swine show. So I'll be helping out a little bit, trying to wrestle or at least direct some hogs into the right pens to help out the judges over there. And that's a fun thing. I used to show a hog once in a while back at Grant County Fair. So it's just fun for me to get out with the community and be a part of the great things that are happening at those fairs.
Indeed. And Miss Graffunder stays busy as well. Not only are you going to these fairs, but she's digging in.
Well, the back work to make sure that a kid's project is organized, documented, legal, because they have to go through all the veterinary care and inspections to get there, and then to get that prepared for the fair and to get the paperwork prepared for the fair. If it's part of 4-H or FFA, Sherry's taking care of it for the FFA at River Valley. But I also want to shout out to the citizens and the parent volunteers that are out there working with our 4-H groups, because when the kids are younger, they're in those great events as well. And so it takes a lot to get something ready for a county fair, whether it's knitting, blanket, cow, horse, whatever it is. I think there's a lot that goes into that. And I think that shows true growth, right? That we want kids to learn while they're in school, but so many kids are hands-on. They want to do things outside. And we all know kids that are really, really good at different things. So this is a great way for us to celebrate some of those outdoor skills that kids might have, whether it's in, you know, taking care of domesticated animals or whether it's in making projects. So we're really happy to be a part of that. And a shout out to Sherry. She's really helping to make sure that all of these fairs are going off without any bumps in the road, if you will. So we're excited about that. Again, the villages of Spring Green and Plain are solidly in that Sauk County area, and so we'll have a lot of kids involved in that Sauk County Fair. Following that, then we're going to get into August, and you're going to go to the Iowa County Fair, which is over at Dodgeville. If you know, it started in Dodgeville, actually, but then it moved, and that went over to Mineral Point, I believe is what I need to remember. And that fair then gets way over into that Mineral Point area, and that's been an incredible event as well. So that's a smaller fair, but it's also a huge hog show. Again, that Iowa County Fair is really a big one that brings in a lot of hogs. And I think that's something interesting for Wisconsin. I think 50 years ago, the dairy show would have been huge. And now that dairy farms are not such a large part of small family farms, the small family farm might have a few beef cows or it might have a few hogs, to be honest. And so I think we've seen that those swine shows and those beef shows have elevated. And it makes me think of that show coming up then in Iowa County that will be on the Labor Day weekend of August 29th through September, which one of our last ones will be at the Richland County Fair. And we'll talk about that when we get back to September, Phil. But I just want to shout out to the kids that are getting stuff ready for that, because that comes in September. And that's, again, a huge hog show again, the swine show. So yeah, there's lots of stuff happening out there for those county fairs, and kids are getting ready. And if you really were a fair aficionado and you really wanted to go to a lot of different fairs, I think this week there's a Lodi Fair, there's a Lafayette County Fair, you can get ready to go to the Sauk County Fair, and you could pop around Wisconsin and be at a fair pretty much from now until mid-September.
Yeah, I mean, they're all unique and they all have some interesting food.
Yes, they do. Yes,
like
yes they do. It's, you know, I always want to go to the fairs and try to find something. And again, I fondly remember the Richland County Fair because I think it's the Richland County beef producers have a really good steak sandwich. So that's something that always, you know, you want to try the regional fair too. So that's exciting. And it's always fun to find the best food, the best things while you're at those fairs.
For the River Valley students, Lauren, not only getting ready for Sauk and Iowa and Richland, but possibly their own 4-H fairs. And then the River Valley School Fair as well, a little bit deeper in the fall.
Yes, that River Valley Fair will be September 27th, 28th, right in that range. I'm trying to put this date in my head right now. I believe it's on a Friday. So that'll be coming up. And that River Valley Fair is one of the best school fairs out there. And I think, again, it is September 27th. It coordinates with the River Valley Homecoming Celebration. And I just don't know another district or towns that come together and do something like homecoming like River Valley does. We have an incredible parade. We've got the school fair. We've got that great football stadium at that time. So it's just an incredible time. So yep, put it on your calendar. Grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles, get ready to come to homecoming and the River Valley School Fair on the 27th of September. Yeah. And time will fly. I heard you say it earlier this morning on the morning show. Time will fly. June comes. People are getting out of school. We're getting into like, oh, what's the summer schedule like? Then we hit the 4th of July. That was last week. Now, from this point forward, it's going to fly, and pretty soon school will start. So we're busy at the school district. We're always trying to get things ready so that we're successful and ramped up and ready to go.
I always feel like when the practices start for football, usually first, and then yep, all of the others that follow in August, that seems like school's over, or the summer vacation's over, school's already starting.
Yep. I knew that it was getting close, Phil. Last week, we could hear in the week before, we could hear in the middle school gymnasium, which is right next to my district office, I could hear basketballs pounding on some boards. And I thought, who's over there? So I went over and looked, and they were running a camp for youth. The youth girls were there. So then I go back in this morning and I got into my office and I could already hear basketballs at 7:30 this morning, and the guys are in. So the young men are in having a youth kind of camp. So those camps are happening. And then you're right. As soon as, you know, August hits, it'll be time to start those fall practices.
Let's talk about some other concerns and things going on here this summer. I think one of the things you wanted to talk about was Act 20.
So there is new legislation in the state of Wisconsin, and it's called Wisconsin Act 20, like 1920, right? It's 20. And so what that did, and it was signed exactly 1 year ago in July of 2023, but it's coming into action now. And what that did is it requires every school district in the state of Wisconsin to have some new early literacy instruction and intervention. And so a lot of people are going to wonder what that actually means. The state is being very involved in the process of making sure that every school district makes a kid a reader. They're making sure that we're looking at early interventions for pre-K, really 4K, but it really hits home in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and third grade. So those four pivotal years in literacy as being something really important for the state to keep track on. Wisconsin's literacy scores have not been what they should be. And that's a flat out fact. And so even though I've got teachers working their bums off trying to make every kid get ready for stuff, this is our state taking a really heavy nod on the idea of funding, but also on the really heavy nod of what is required in every school district so that if a kid leaves maybe a Fall River or a Columbus and they move down to a River Valley or a Richland Center, that we have the same expectations for K, 1, 2, 3 in early literacy. And so it's putting every district, the 421 districts in the state of Wisconsin, on the same page for early literacy. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. It's a hard thing when the state gets involved in educational things and starts to make decisions based on legislation rather than research. So I'm a little weary always of those politicians making decisions for schools. However, when you put a magnifying glass on something that's good for schools and you put a magnifying glass on consistency for children, I think it can't be anything but a good thing. So every district's working really hard to try to meet the expectations now of this new legislation. So within the 24-25 school year, early literacy instruction and interventions will have to be consistent across the state of Wisconsin. One of the things that people will see as a parent is if your child takes the screener, if you will, it'll be the new test that the state has identified for us that says every child will take this test at this time. Within 10 days, we as a district have to inform the parents of how they did. From that, if they are lower than their peers, and I believe it's under the 25th percentile, we will have to create for that child an early learning reading plan, which is almost like an individualized document for every child that's at risk in reading. Now, that's a lot of paperwork. Again, there's the maybe negative side of it, but the positive side of that is somebody at home is seeing exactly what we're doing at school to make sure that we're raising that kid's awareness and proficiency in literacy. And so it doesn't allow a district to kind of pick their own test anymore. That's gone. You will use this test that the state identified. They haven't announced exactly what that test is, though that DPI has kind of leaked it that we know what that test is. But that screener that will be coming out will be the same in every district. Then from that screener, kind of the next steps that the district must do are in that legislation too. And it covers some very big points within literacy. A little bit of research here. When you're looking at a systemic and explicit way of teaching a kid how to read, there's lots of pieces to it. So it's the sounds and the parts of words. So that's phonological and phonemic awareness. It's kind of going back to Hooked on Phonics, if you will, in that sense, where we're really putting a focus on the phonics, the sound that that child receives from the teacher, and that if, you know, they're in Mr. Knee's classroom or Mr. Glassbrenner's classroom, that we are teaching that initial sound in a systemic, explicit way, the exact same way. So you can't have, you know, this teacher and that teacher teaching anything differently. This will dictate, and that's kind of a heavy word, but it will tell us exactly how those sounds will be taught. So phonological awareness, phonemic awareness, and phonics have become a greater part of that early literacy kind of, I guess, introduction of stuff to children. And then it goes on from there to talk about background knowledge, oral language, vocab, writing, comprehension, and reading fluency. But it really does break down very specific ways that curriculum and early literacy instruction will be kind of forthcoming to every child in the state of Wisconsin.
As I look over these things, Lauren, you know, this is really old school. I mean, my mother was a school teacher and would have been pushing phonics and, you know, vocabulary and spoken words and things like that. It's nothing new, is it?
It is nothing new. And this is not new research, right? Everybody wants to call it, oh, the science of reading and put a big capital S on the science of reading. It's old science. It's taking best practice and making it required. And I think what's more important to this for the state of Wisconsin is really that requirement and the legislation coming forward as it highlights it across the entire state so that children aren't lost. So that every district is working on these things in a really explicit, systemic way. Again, districts are doing the best that they can, and you'll never hear me say that districts are overfunded. I believe they're underfunded. But what we have to do is, with any funding that we're given, this kind of takes a priority now, and it really puts us to task of making sure that kind of that science of reading and that research that supports brain development and the inception of good literacy skills gets delivered to every child in a consistent way.
I find it interesting as well that, you know, the report goes to the parents, and then that's basically where it starts, because schools can't do it on their own. You know, they need some help from home, too.
Correct. And I wish I had the statistic in front of me, but if you read one book to your child from birth through grade, you know, age four. So just those first 4 years while they're at home or at daycare and you're just reading one book, a kid that has books in their homes is something like 95% more prepared for school than homes that don't have reading and books in their home. So again, shout out to public libraries. Get your kid to the library this summer. Make sure that when you're bringing up something on their phone, you could have them reading a book on their iPad or their Kindle. Little kids, I know they love technology and I know you want them, you know, to be involved in things so that as a parent you can also get other stuff done. But there's really good literacy resources out there that can get books in front of your kid, not just games in front of your kid. So again, making sure that your children have books. And I do believe there's a special connection when a kid is with a parent on the couch reading a book. Right? Or it could be with a guardian. It could be with a grandma. It could be with an aunt. It could be with an older brother or sister. But get out the storybooks. Make sure that picture books are involved in the daily part of your life as a family. And if you're a grandma or a grandpa and you're thinking about, oh, I don't know what to buy my grandkids or to buy my nephews or my nieces, get them a book. Uh-huh. They still prove to be one of the best things that we can do for children.
Sure. It's a great bedtime ritual.
Amen. Yeah. I love that. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Very true. Very true.
Read to them.
You know, again, Act 20. I know a lot of districts have been concerned about it. I know we don't, again, love to be told we have to do certain things a certain way. But I think it's a need. It's definitely a need in the state of Wisconsin when we see many districts struggling with getting families engaged in some of this literacy knowledge and some of this early reading intervention and instruction. And so it's going to put a highlight on it because the parents are required then to understand that early reading plan, and it requires a district to kind of send home some resources as well. So while you are at home, think about doing this with your child to help them get ready for what they need to do. Every child learns differently. We know that. I wasn't a quick reader when I was a little kid. I love to read now, but everybody gets to those stages differently within literacy, and so it's a good thing. I'm just trying to spin it as a good thing, even though it's a hard thing for the districts to take on.
Have you had some summer school classes and things like that going on in the district?
We have. So I'm going to keep going with this literacy thing. Oh. There's summer school classes for teachers around early literacy. So to get every teacher on the same page, there's been a lot of professional development this last year and will continue this next year as well as this summer around this professional development for early literacy. As well as for the kids, we finished up high school summer school. We've got middle school summer school happening right now. And then as you're coming toward August, you're going to have elementary summer school, which is kind of a jump start to the school year.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're excited about those things. And there's a lot going on in the districts. But again, I will say it's a time to also take some good time to rest as a family. So I think kids should be outside. I think they should get used to getting a new cycle of or a schedule that they, you know, should still get up. They shouldn't sleep till noon, right? Kids should be active. They should be going to activities like swim teams or going to the pool or taking a walk or getting the dog outside or whatever chores you want your child to do. But I think it's also important to make sure that they don't hit that summer slide. Schools always worry that kids will be void of any kind of school activity or literacy or math activity for the whole summer. And that simply is not good for a child. So get your student involved in something. It doesn't have to be long. It can be 15 minutes of reading before you give them time on an iPad or a Kindle. But make sure they're still doing something so that they stay involved in that. I can only imagine that out at your house where I believe June works with little people, that there's times for activities and there's time for play. Right? Yeah. And it's a balance that you want to have for your children or anybody that's helping you out with the care for your kids. So making sure that those activities are structured and ready for kids is a really good thing. And again, if you're struggling with that, there is a free resource in every community called your public library. You can take kids to your public library. There are puzzles, there are games, there are books everywhere. And if you're worried about finding things that are developmentally appropriate for your child, get to a public library. They'll be ready to help you.
Yeah, one of the things, and I've never told June this, but it warms my heart if I come home and I hear her reading downstairs. Absolutely. To the children. Yep. Right before nap time. So
yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do is to be a part of some of those literacy things at our schools. Again, I was a seventh grade language arts teacher, so writing and reading were my you know, my game too, and I loved it. And I miss those things. But when I get to go to a 4K classroom or a 5K or a 1 or a 2 or a 3, almost every single one of those classrooms has a chair in the corner, most often a rocker, right? Mm-hmm. A special chair that has the spot for the teacher that props them up, and it's got a carpet in front of that chair so that the little people can be on the ground and that a teacher can raise up a good book and they can get that oral language out there for the kids so that they can hear the right mimicking of a sound. So again, if we're looking at just the letter P, the P makes the sound, right? Like, and we need kids to know that P doesn't make the P sound, it makes the sound, right? So you got to get kids to understand the little parts before they put them all together. And I think that's what this Act 20 really does, is it highlights the little pieces of literacy and really tries to get people onto the right page. Yeah, we want kids to know their ABCs, but the P in the ABCs doesn't have any phoneme or sound connected to it. And so we want families to understand that the sound comes from the letter P. So it's all that stuff pushed together to get the kids ready for school.
Indeed. Post-referendum, I know you've been having a survey going out, and maybe we can come back and talk about that after the break.
I think that sounds great.
A little bit later, and kind of talk about that is going to be revealed later this week, in fact.
Yes, sir.
All right, Lauren Glassbrenner, River Valley Schools, our guest on The Morning Show, and we shall return.
Now is a good time to reflect on your pharmacy needs. If you're thinking about switching, the place to go for great service from people who care is the Richland Family Prescription Center. The staff and pharmacists do whatever it takes to help you. They're never too busy to answer questions. Their goal is to be your primary source of healthcare information. With everyone watching every penny, they know it's dangerous and unhealthy not to take your medicine as prescribed by your doctor. They've always matched any price and honor any prescription program. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. And the Richland Family Prescription Center features free in-town delivery and free mailing. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Are you ready to buy a house? Do you know somebody looking to buy a house? Do you not know where to start? Do you not know where to apply? Do you just have some general questions about buying a home? Hey, Jason Schultz here with USA Mortgage, the Schultz Mortgage Team, your local mortgage expert. When I say expert, I mean that because mortgage is all I do. I don't want your checking account. I don't want your car loan. I just want to help you buy a house. Whether you need an FHA loan, a VA loan for veterans, a USDA loan, or a conventional loan, contact the Schultz Mortgage Team 7 days a week, 604-5068. We do not work banker hours.
Hey, that's one nice new bike, Josie.
Yeah, birthday present. Rides really smooth, too. Oh, and I see you finally got a new helmet.
I did. Bought it cheap online.
Love those side wings.
Hey, are you hungry?
Yeah, I'm starving. And need some water, too.
Okay, follow me. We'll turn off here.
I'm right behind you.
Hey, watch the cars. They can be crazy.
Teddy! No! Are you okay? Teddy! Somebody do something!
I called 911. They should be here soon.
Was this young man hit by a car?
Yes, and I'm concerned because his helmet is smashed and cracked open.
It's a brand new helmet!
It's probably a fake.
Please help him.
Fakes cause real harm. You're smart. Buy smart.
Go for real.
Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Lauren Glassbrenner is here today, River Valley School Administrator, and we're talking about some things concerning River Valley and also across the state, schools in general. You did have a referendum, and it did not pass this past year.
That's correct.
You've been on a couple of times since that time. And the last time you were talking about the school questionnaire that has been being worked on. Mm-hmm. Has that been turned in by now?
The survey results were just finalized on the 1st of July. So those results are in, and the company that we've been working with, which is FEH Architectures out of Dubuque, Iowa, will be tabulating all those results and kind of doing what we call data mining, if you will. It's taking apart little pieces of it so that we can take a look at age, we can take a look at location, we can take a look at whether they voted, we can take a look at all the preferences. And now from that survey, we can dig into what do particular age groups want, or what do particular residential locations want. Is what Spring Green wants for their district different than Arena wants? Is what Lone Rock wants for their district different than what Plain wants? So again, one of the gifts I get is I have four unique, wonderful communities, but they all have different needs and wants and personalities. And so it's taking all that data together and really trying to push it out to get to the preferences of what everybody can agree upon, which is not easy, I will say. But I do believe that the survey will give the school board, the River Valley School Board, a lot of information. Those results will be shared this Thursday at our regular school board meeting, which will be held at 7 o'clock at River Valley Middle School in the LMC, the Library Media Center. And so again, that's the Thursday school board. And we're just going to take a look at those results and make sure that everything is there for us to learn from. So again, to those folks that took that survey, just really a huge thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to put it in there. Many of them, many folks mailed it to us at the district office, and we made sure it was in local newspapers as well as kind of the shopper stopper, if you will, to make sure people could get it to us. And a lot of those came in, and we're just so thankful for them sharing their wisdom, sharing their insights, and we'll do our best to take it all together and learn from it and do what we can to move ahead.
I think it's a great tool for you to kind of say, okay, we need to tweak this, or maybe we don't go there this time, or whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's a lot of information that will come in, I hope. And I really believe that it will be really telling. It will tell us that a certain, I'm assuming, because I haven't been given the data yet either, but I'm assuming there will be certain age brackets that want certain things. If I'm 35 to 45 and I've got little kids, my needs are going to be different than if I'm 65 and retired on a fixed income. So I'm guessing that those age brackets are going to give us a lot of different information. And I think it will allow us to also take a look again at the Sauk County, Iowa County, and Richland County demographics to say, okay, I've got mainly young adults living in Sauk County. I've got aging adults living in Richland County. I've got a mixture of adults living in Iowa County. And it's going to allow me to really dig into those, I guess, data sets and really dig into what the folks in the River Valley School District want and need.
Down the road, are you looking at an operation referendum somewhere along the line?
So we're in a 3-year cycle in River Valley for operational referenda, and that next operational referenda will be coming out in April. So it'll be in the 25 school year. Doesn't that sound crazy?
Yes.
The 2025, April of 25, we will be having an operational referenda. And I was clear with folks about that as I talked to them about this last capital referenda as well. So again, yep, that will be coming. And again, we have to do those things because, as I said before, school funding is not fair. The amount of school funding that goes to large growing populations like a Middleton Cross Plains or a Wanakee or a Sun Prairie, they have money to hire administrators and all sorts of programming and pretty much anything they want. And I don't mean to say anything against those districts because I think they're great districts too, but they have funding resources based on population growth that rural districts don't have. When you look at Weston, when you look at Richland, and you look at River Valley, which are the three in basically Richland County, we are destined to only use the funding from the people that live here. And when Richland County in general has declining population trends, which it does, that means the people that are here, you and I, end up paying a bigger share of the cost for those schools. So the costs don't go down. Insurance goes up, gas goes up, food prices go up. Those go up for a school district too, and the population goes down. So what happens is then that burden becomes increasingly more more for the people that are here. And I believe in schools. I always have. So I will always, you know, fight to fund those at a greater capacity. What I truly believe needs to happen is, as a state, we need to take a huge view at school funding and look at it differently. Maybe we shouldn't fund it off of property taxes so much. Maybe we shouldn't fund it based on local taxes as much if we have new statewide requirements. You heard me talk about Act 20. You heard me talk about new curricula needs that might be there, new screener needs, all the new things that come with that come unfunded. The state says you need to do these things, and then they'll throw out, and I'll make up a number, like $20 million. Well, $20 million across 421 districts doesn't really meet the needs of the state. It's just not enough money. So again, I'll go back to, I think that there are some legislators that need to put their boots on and really dig into school funding and find a better way to do it.
Well, let's say some legislators came to you, Lauren, and they said, Mr. Glassbrenner, give us some ideas. If you had a magic wand, what would help the situation here?
The first thing I'd do is I would research the states of the United States and find which ones are being most successful. And I think some of the states that are being most successful have found a balanced taxed way of doing it. They're putting part of the sales tax or a lottery tax. Property tax does get included, but not in a huge factor like it does in Wisconsin. So I think it takes a look at all the different tax burdens that are out there and tries to balance it out a little bit differently. And that then somebody, if we're taking more, somebody else is going to get less. So then it creates competition within the funding pools within the state. But I do believe there are states out there that have been more creative in the way that they do that. And I just think they need to look at the tax burden for every individual, whether it's sales, property, even state taxes in some way, so that we can come up with some more creative ways to dig into schools. The children that are in the seats of your desks in your schools are the future of the state of Wisconsin. And if we don't take care of the needs now, especially with the failing infrastructure of our schools, there's something like 50% of the schools in Wisconsin were built in the 60s or earlier. Like, those buildings are going to fail. And so we really need to dig into the infrastructure of schools as well and find best ways to improve those schools. I think it's a big bite. There's a lot to dig into. I would love to be on a team with other people from other states to truly find the best practices for funding schools, because I know there are people out there that are interested in it. It's just trying to find that right time. And every time you think you're finding the right person that gets into office to do that, they're out of office within 4 years and you start all over. So it's kind of been a stagnant way of looking at school funding in Wisconsin for quite some time. And I think we need to do some stuff to really fix that, because in the next 5 years, I think you're going to see more and more schools really fighting for operational referenda to truly fund their schools. We're seeing larger school districts like Madison and Milwaukee having to go to operational referendum too. And so what's really happened is our large metropolitan areas like Green Bay, for example, they're closing schools. I believe I read just last week, Green Bay has closed in the last 2 years, I think 11 or 12 schools. And that's a larger metropolitan area because they're going to Ashwaubenon. They're going to the De Peers. They're going into suburbia, right? And so the center of large metropolitan areas are becoming void of children, and they're going out to suburbs. From suburbs, what's going to happen? We're not sure. But the trends have really shifted differently. And so a lot of those bigger districts are also declining in enrollment, which just seems weird. But Madison Metropolitan School District is struggling with funding. And you'd think, how could that be? Well, they've gone to the suburbs, and now the suburbs have all the dollars. Mm-hmm. So it's a migration of children numbers that we're really trying to track and find and watch.
Very concerning, too, for school districts that are much smaller than River Valley. You wonder about the future of some of the small schools, and everybody's proud of their school mm-hmm. and their community, and hopefully that can continue, but you do wonder about it, don't you?
A lot of superintendents wonder about that, because in a lot of our lobbyist conversations that we have as superintendents that are really interested in the legal side of things, when you ask officials at the Department of Public Instruction, what's going to happen? How will we ever get this to happen? The first answer that's not a happy answer, but the first answer that comes is school districts that are really little are going to have to take the hit first. And so you in your mind right now can picture a district that's got less than 500 children, and there could be at some point a real forced migration of those students to other districts because simply it can't be afforded by the state to fund it anymore. And that's hard. We all know how hard that is on a little town when their local school closes and they consolidate. We all know how hard that is. But if there's no funding for it coming from the state and the tax dollars are not coming in anymore based on property because that's got declining population needs, it's really going to put a lot of people in a bind. So one of the first things that the Department of Public Instruction speaks to is consolidation.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we also wanted to talk about free and reduced price school meals. And, you know, you look at some of those cutoffs and things like that, and a lot of people are eligible.
Lot of people are eligible. It's funny. Household applications for free and reduced school price lunches, right, is something that we deal with annually. And it's something that the River Valley School District, we put out a plea back in October, I believe in November last year, for families to kind of give to what we called Project Lunchbox, which was funding for students that just don't have enough money to pay for their school lunch or breakfast. And River Valley citizens and families and parents were incredibly generous, and they gave a lot of money to that and helped us pay off some of those bills. So again, a huge thank you to those folks. But every year, there's a household application for free and reduced price school meals. And it's a good thing for the family, and it's a good thing for the district. But what we find is, let's say 25% of the kids in River Valley apply for this and 25 get this. There's probably another 25% out there that didn't apply based on pride. I shouldn't have to ask the federal government for money. I shouldn't have to ask the state for funding. I should be able to take care of this on my own. And so they don't apply for free and reduced lunch. And that kind of breaks my heart because my tax dollars go to helping out others in the best ways possible. So I really want families to consider whether or not they have applied. I'm just going to throw out a quick number that I just saw. If you're a family of four and you make $40,000 or less, which would put you in a hardship, you can get free lunch and breakfast for your child. And if you're a family of four and you make right around that $58,000 mark or less, you could get reduced pricing for a lot of that. And that way your district isn't incurring that cost and you would be able to pay less and get your kids more. And that's really what we're trying to do, is get kids what they need, because we all know the nutrition that's in their body helps their brain and their brain helps them learn. So we're all on the same page and we're all fighting for the same good stuff, but really consider filling out that application for free and reduced meals. We'll make sure that we do some Facebook posts around this for social media as well, but just a shout out to those families when you think, well, I might not apply because I just don't think if it's going to apply to my family. I'd rather have you fill out the form and then have me come back and say, actually, you make too much money. I'm sorry, you know, you just won't get it this year. Continue to be aware of it. If anything slips, let us know, that kind of thing. The other thing I would say is we can do all of this very confidentially. We can do it through emails. We can do it through anything so that you don't feel like your neighbors have to know or anybody has to know about this free and reduced priced school meal application. You can fill it out online. It's available online, and we'll make sure that anybody at River Valley can see that on our social media so that you can fill that out for us.
And for a student, when they are eligible and things like that, no one knows.
No,
that they
nobody are knows. Right? Nobody knows. The person at the cashier, you know, like as you're going through the food line, you get up to the cashier, the kid puts in a number, right? Nothing's done by lunch tickets anymore. I can remember these funny little orange lunch tickets, and they were green sometimes at Fenimore Elementary. Anyway, you got these funny little lunch tickets, and you never wanted to lose your lunch ticket, but now everything's on a school ID, or you just memorize your number. So let's just say it's 53809. Right? You punch in 53809. That comes up. It shows a picture of the student, which would be little Lauren Glassbrenner, pops up, and then it would say free or reduced or regular. And the lady would punch it in. And it's so interesting because most families now pay for school lunch online. It's almost like a credit card, if you will, or a debit account at the school district. When they put in 53809, that takes that meal, that cost, off of your balance as a parent. And notifications come out through an email that say, hey, your lunch account's getting a little low, family. So it's a very electronic, smooth way, and nobody knows. Nobody knows. So I think to highlight that it can be really confidential is a really important thing.
Indeed. We'll come back with a final word about River Valley Schools this month during the month of July. Our monthly visit with Lauren Glassbrenner continues in a moment.
Coach Johnson here again, and it's officially summertime. How are you feeling about your health journey? If you'd like to discuss some options, contact Jamie Johnson on Facebook. You can also call or text him at 608-604-7751. That's 604-7751 to discuss different programs. Working out is optional and not required with the different plans, though it is helpful. Reach out and start a conversation and consider making changes with your health today. Why wait?
Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. It's good to know someone you can trust when your home gives you a headache. Featuring 24-hour emergency service for plumbing, heating, and cooling. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating has been a trusted name when it comes to helping you solve any plumbing, heating, or cooling needs. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
Lauren Glassbrenner, our guest on the morning show today from WRCO Radio, as we wrap up our conversation. Do you have some openings this summer yet at the district?
We sure do. So at any school district right now is trying to fill every position possible. And so we still have some positions open for special educators. So if you want to be a special education teacher in middle school or high school, please feel free to reach out to our website again at rvschools.org. And we'd be happy to get you an application. You can also just reach out to me and I'll find you one. I promise. So those special education openings are just about ready to get filled, and we'd love to have you in our application pool. But another shout out that I'd always give is we always need substitutes. And we talked about the lunchroom, and we've talked about teacher assistants and all the great things that people can offer at a school. And if you ever just want to sub, be a substitute lunch lady or be a teacher assistant once or twice a week, it allows you to come into the schools, take on that task for the day, find a spot that you really think is fun where you could maybe assist with children in recess or behaviors or learning and be a part of a school for a day. And I think a lot of retired or people that are just needing a little something fun to do really enjoy our schools. And so I encourage you in any community to be involved in your school district, because those folks have a better awareness of what's going on in our schools. And I think it's an eye-opening experience for someone to come into a school and to see how complex it is, see how complex some of the students are that we have those needs to take care of. And it just always helps us out. So if, again, you want to ever be a substitute with the River Valley School District, you can go on to the rvschools.org website. You can look under postings for jobs. I believe it's under human resources. If I'm looking at the website in my memory right now, you go to human resources and it'll show you job openings. And we'd love to have you fill out an application online, or we could, of course, mail one out to you at any time.
Well, what a great thing for retired people, grandparents in the area.
Absolutely.
You can be a grandparent at the school then.
Yes, absolutely. And if you don't want that full day commitment, we also have volunteer opportunities as well. So reach out to any school. If you want to volunteer at an elementary or a middle school or a high school, reach out to those schools. And we're always willing and able to try to involve a person from our community into our school so that it just builds that community awareness. You know, we want to move forward with everybody on the same page, but to do that, sometimes we have to educate our community. So those are great things, and we'd love to have people in there to see what we're doing every day.
Don't you have some retired teachers that still come back and sub once in a while?
There are some retired teachers, but funny thing, Phil, some retired teachers really want to retire. They really want to get on the boat and go bass fishing, or maybe find the best bluegill spot possible, you know, and so they get out there, and the last thing they want to do is be back at a school. But sometimes, yes, we have those come in. You know, it just shows the great things that are involved at our schools. And I think those retired folks do offer us an incredible gift when they return. So a thank you to anybody that comes into our schools as a substitute to help us out on a daily basis, for sure.
There's a couple of them that I know pretty well, and I always kid them, you're working harder now than when you were full-time.
Yeah, some people are a glutton for punishment, but that's exciting. Yeah, it's an exciting time.
There's recently some really good news from the district that some of the students, in fact, you brought some of these students here this past school year, and they were recently awarded with some statewide recognition. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so that, again, I'm going back to the Jerry Awards. So the Jerry Awards are offered by an organization called the Jerry Organization, I believe, that is in Madison. And that team together gets together and really tries to highlight the best musicals across the state of Wisconsin. And this year we had the show Bright Star, which is a really great show. It's, again, golly, Edie Brickell and Steve Martin were the writers of Bright Star. It had a very wholesome kind of hillbilly feel to it, but it had a very deep story to it as well. So again, we wanted to shout out to congratulations to the Bright Star cast. Again, a shout out to the directors, Sarah Young and Becky Schenker. But within that, then they go to this great celebration up at the Overture for these outstanding musicals. And two of our actors, our young actors, were recognized. Ryan Kane and David Van Halgren, both young men that are outstanding, received Achievement Awards for Outstanding Supporting Performance Awards. And so their acting and singing abilities were highlighted within the state amongst some of the biggest competition that's out there. Again, we also had a Spirit Award by a graduating senior, Leah Drockenberg, who was our assistant director. She's been here many times. She was also our past president for the Student Council. She received a Spirit Award by the Jerry Awards as well. So those three kids, Ryan, David, and Leah, if you're listening or a grandparent's listening, we're just so proud of you. We're just so proud of the work that you do. And we're really proud of Sarah and Becky as well, the great work they do to involve children in the great art of the performing arts in an after-school activity of our musical. So we're pretty lucky. River Valley is truly a great place. And I try to say it every time I'm here, I'm the luckiest guy because I've got the best district. But within that, what makes it, I think, the best is that balance between agriculture, the arts, academics, athletics. We've got kids involved in tremendous things outside of school and inside of school. And I think it just creates a well-rounded opportunity for every child.
Indeed. Well-rounded. I just wanted to mention, too, Ryan and David, those Jerry Awards, both of those were supporting roles. They were not leads.
Isn't that cool?
So to be recognized as someone who's not a lead, that, I think that's even more outstanding.
Yeah. You know? Ryan Kane is going off to school, and he's going to become a music educator. So again, everybody that needs a good music teacher, think 4 years ahead. Ryan Kane will be your guy. And David Van Halgren, I truly believe, is a comedian in the making. He is an incredible oratory kind of practiced man. He's just a cool kid. And David has wit. He already, at his sophomore, junior year, has this comedic timing that is beyond what you see in some TV shows. So I hope he goes far, and I'm sure he will. It's just incredible. So those supporting roles, I think, are cool to be highlighted as well. They weren't leads, but they obviously are just as important to that cast, and it was highlighted by our team. And again, a shout out to anybody that was a part of the show Bright Star.
Lauren, always good to have you in the studio with us.
Well, thank you, Mr. Nee. It's always good to be here. Thank you for having us.
And the next time you come back, you'll have some results of that that recent questionnaire. And
yep, I'll have some survey results, and I'll also have all the starting stuff for the school year as it comes forward. So when I talk to you guys in August, I'll have when your kids come on the first day of school, what they should bring, and how we get ready for the next 24-25 school year.
Hard to believe to wrap my head around that. 24-25.
It's happening.
Who knew?
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Lauren.
You bet.
Lauren Glassbrenner, our guest on today's portion of the morning show, talking about River Valley Schools.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Hillsboro Equipment sells outdoor power equipment, services outdoor power equipment, and takes care of the people who depend on their outdoor power equipment. With an 11,000 square foot shop, over $1 million in parts, and multiple trained technicians, Hillsboro Equipment will get you tuned up and ready to go. From the combines in the field to the lawnmower and chainsaw in your yard, they service it all, any make, any model. See the service experts at Hillsboro Equipment or call 489-2275.
Summer is heating up at Town & Country TV & Appliance. Discover unbeatable deals on top brands like Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Amana, Maytag, Speed Queen, and Frigidaire. The Town & Country team will install your new appliances and recycle your old ones. Now with two locations to serve you. The Superstore at 2490 Highway 14 in Richland Center, and the newly opened showroom at downtown Reedsburg at 206 East Main Street. For store hours and details about the incredible summer savings sale, visit townandcountryrc.com.
Jones Chevrolet in Richland Center is your local family-owned award-winning dealership for over a century. We always have one of the largest selections of trucks in Southwest Wisconsin. JonesChev.com is updated daily with specials on new and pre-owned vehicles. We even have a secure credit application online to help us help you faster. Bad credit? Good news, we can help. Our special finance manager, Melanie, has some custom finance options and is eager to help. Jones Chevrolet, Richland Center, your Chevy truck headquarters. Chevy, together, let's drive.
You have auto insurance because, let's face it, stuff happens. And then you feel punished with a rate hike after filing a claim? Erie Rate Lock changes all that. With Rate Lock from Erie Insurance, your low rate stays great until you change cars, drivers, or your address. Your Erie agent in Richland Center is the Richards Insurance Agency. Get a quote at 585-2137.
Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. Insured must meet necessary underwriting guidelines. Premium may change if you make policy changes. Not all products are offered in all states. Patent pending.
Hi, Garrett here with Vitesnik Power Sports in Richland Center. Sure, we have low prices and guarantees, but what really sets us apart is our service department. Our service team has over 200 years of combined experience ensuring quick turnarounds and top-notch satisfaction. With our newest quality control measures, we're cutting wait times and boosting appointments. Don't wait. Make your appointment today. When it comes to service, we don't mess around. Vitesnik Power Sports, Highway 14, Richland Center. Your satisfaction is our priority. It's what we do. Vitesnik Power Sports.
Score big on convenience at Right Way Plaza in Spring Green. Swing by our fresh deli for tasty snacks and grab your favorite drinks. Don't miss out on our fuel rewards program and top-notch car wash. Whether you're heading to the game or on the go, Right Way Plaza has you covered. Right Way Plaza is the right stop. Go Blackhawks!
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.